Well, it's good to be back in front of you once again, as I was a few minutes ago. Now, I didn't ask for sure. Typically, I might think we get out at 11:30. I do notice it's 11:20. So, I'm assuming that I'll go till around 11:45, 11:50, just so you have a sense, in case you're wondering. So, I'm not sure of your exact cutoff, but I figure you're looking for me to speak more than 5 minutes as well. Okay, well, so anyway, approximately half an hour, I'm assuming. I'm going to go ahead and read a quick passage. Chris was nice enough this morning to read from John chapter 10. And as asked about a scripture, there's two main verses I was kind of looking at. Actually, I may do three. I'm going to share with you John chapter 10. I'll start with verse 9, 10, and 11. There's a couple of phrases in particular that I'm wanting to look from or to gain from this to kind of use for our lesson. In John chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know, this is within a parable. I'm sure we're familiar, and we also had a chance to read and hear it this morning. This parable about a sheepfold. This parable about sheep coming into the fold. And they didn't come in just any way. They came in through the door of the sheep. Jesus was, of course, the door. The sheepfold is for protection. Now, I'm not looking this morning to go into depth about this, but there's a phrase that I want to point out to you again, and that is at the end of verse 10, and that where it says, I have come that they may have life and more abundantly. You know, I had a particular reason in terms of giving the sermon or a lesson that I would develop. I've already mentioned it that some of you may have heard, and I'll share it again. And for those of you who may not have been here, I'll share it in a minute. But as I was developing this lesson and had come across this particular passage, I decided to start with it because, in a sense, it gets to the core of where we're going. And I'll just go ahead and say once again, my main lesson this morning is going to be the idea of redeemed, redeemer, redemption, whichever word you might want to use. In a minute, I'll write redeem on the board, and we will look at two or three aspects of redeem or redemption. But as I was reading it and kind of contemplating this, this phrase really struck home to me. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. What does it mean to have a more abundant life? You know, we'll get into this into more detail in a minute, but just kind of in general, there's lots of people who live life. There's lots of people who live life struggling. There's lots of people who live life kind of going along, and this can be us. You've probably struggled at times in life. There's times in life you've probably gone along just kind of going, okay. You may not have always been feeling like you had an abundant life. What does it mean when he says that you may have life and more abundantly? Well, one aspect that I'll lay out to you and just mention briefly, but it's an important piece of it. If we come and we just live our daily life, there's going to be something that's empty about it. Solomon, as much as anybody, could point that out to us. Because did Solomon live an abundant life in some ways? Solomon had a lot of things. He lived as great as anybody could in his time. Probably greater than most in terms of the physical blessings that he had around him. And yet, what did he say about life? Vanity. And so what we see is there is a spiritual component to life. With the spiritual piece of life, it is not vanity. So one of the aspects that I can appreciate when it says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly, is a spiritual life as well. That's one aspect, and that's certainly going to be in the idea of redemption that we'll get into as well. As a matter of fact, let me write a couple of things on the board now. I'm going to write redeem. I won't write all three, but redeem, redemption, redeemer, however you may look at it. And I'm also going to write one thing. Actually, I'll just make a couple of comments before I do that. One of the things I found as I studied this, there's kind of an Old Testament sense, and I'm going to use one word for that, and that is deliver. One aspect of redemption is to be delivered. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and write a little bit here. So we've got redeem. Earlier when I did this, I kind of put all three up at the same time. In this case, I'm just going to put one up at the moment. As I said, there is kind of an Old Testament sense of redeem. It's kind of a general spiritual sense as well. Now, almost all of us who are here this morning, I'm sure, also understand that we often refer to, as the Scripture does, as Jesus being a redeemer. And this morning, we will get to that. We're going to start with the Old Testament or general sense. Then we're going to use just a couple of reality-type things in life with this. And then we'll get into the New Testament sense of Jesus as redeemer. So, the first place I'm going to go in the Old Testament is to Exodus chapter 3, chapter 6. I'd encourage you, if you will, to turn with me here. You probably understand and remember the account. The children of Israel had gone down as Joseph had a dream, and we know that we had a famine that had occurred, and therefore they went to Egypt because there was relief there. Joseph had been sold. I probably should, if I'm going to say that, just mention initially, Joseph had been sold into slavery. While he was in Egypt as a slave, he had had a dream there and was able to recognize that a famine was coming. Therefore, he had helped Egypt to prepare for that. And then his brothers came down to be relieved from the famine that was in their area. And then, of course, we recognize that his family moved to Egypt as well. Now, there came a time and a place that the Lord was ready now to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so let's look at three verses here. Exodus chapter 6. Let's look at verses 6, 7, and 8. We're going to be looking for the idea of redeem. The word redeem is here. I'd also like for you to think about what are they being delivered from and where are they being delivered to. When we think about being delivered, there is a sense of that. Where are we coming out of and where are we going to? Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out. There's a phrase that gives you an indication. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rescue you from their bondage. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So here's the idea that we have, and probably the most evident, the most obvious from the Old Testament. We have the children of Israel. Now, were they living a very abundant life in Egypt? Probably initially they were, because they had food. Where they had been before, there wasn't food. But over the course of time, what had the Egyptians done to the Israelites? Had they made their lives difficult? Had they put a lot of burden on them? So, by the time Moses comes to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, they were not living an abundant life. But God did speak to them about a place they were going. He referred to it as a land that what? Flowed with milk and honey. He was delivering them from the bondage of Egypt to the promised land. Now, if we just stop and think, and we're going to go into more detail about an example or two in real life, but just in general in life, is there something that we can be delivered from and delivered to? Especially in a spiritual sense, we are delivered from sin. We are delivered to salvation. We are delivered from this earth. We are delivered to heaven. There's aspects that we can go into in a few minutes about that. But this is the first aspect that we might consider. I'm also going to go to the book of Psalms and just look at some other things that we are delivered from. So go with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 49. We'll look at verse 15, where there may be one or two we look at before. Once we get there, I'll look at the context and see if we want to pick up a verse or two before that. But Psalm chapter 49, beginning, as I said, in verse 15. Let's see, 49. We will start with verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. You and I live here on the earth. As humans, what's something that we will all undergo? Death. Is there any escaping death for the vast majority? Obviously, again, the Lord will return, and there could be some who are on the earth at that stage who will then be raised to meet him in the clouds and to be with him forever. So there are some that may not undergo the physical death, but for 99.993, that's a real exact calculation I just did off the top of my head. But for the 99.993 people, percent of the people who live in the earth overall, they will undergo death. But the Lord will redeem my soul. Back to verse 15. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. And what does redeem mean? Again, the idea is to deliver. A couple of more. Take, for instance, Psalm 69, verse 18. I think this is one I might go back and pick a couple of verses up before. No, I'll just go ahead and just go with 18. Psalm 69, 18. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. If you think about, what I appreciate here, again, perceiving that this is David writing it, he actually uses the word redeem and he actually uses the word deliver. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Did David have a good life? And the answer to that could be yes. Did David also have enemies? Did David have kind of a challenging life as well? There's other times that he had said something similar to this, but certainly he felt at times afflicted. I'm not sure if afflicted is the right word there, but he felt challenged by all the people who had things against him, if you will. And so he felt a need to be delivered. And he knew the Lord was the one who could do that. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Can you and I say something similar? Do we want the Lord to draw near to us? Of course, this morning we had looked from James. James chapter 4, we had said, what do we need to do? Draw near to the Lord and he will draw near to us as well. This is just mentioned about asking God to draw near, and I'm just reminding us that we need to draw near as well. One other passage in relation to this, and that is in chapter 72, and this is one I am going to pick up a little earlier. How about starting in verse 12? Psalm 72, verse 12 through 14. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and the needy and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. Now that's kind of an interesting aspect. It does mention in verses 12 and 13, the poor and the needy. We will be delivered in some way, shape, or form in the poor and needy. Now, this could be in a physical sense. It could also be spiritual. It could be the idea of, at times, can we simply be delivered from life? If we're living a righteous life, can we be delivered spiritually from this life to the next? But going down to verse 14 in particular, he will redeem their life. Remember that carries the idea of deliver. He will deliver their life from oppression and violence. And then that other phrase, the last phrase there in verse 14, precious shall be their blood in his sight. As you are precious in the sight of the Lord, and as we view others around us as being precious as well, it will help to redeem their life. So those are some valid points and some good aspects to perceive and understand. What I've tried to do here in three or four or five verses, use some Old Testament principles to establish the idea of redeem and being delivered. Now in a few minutes we'll go to the New Testament. When it comes to Jesus, as he is called our Redeemer, is this idea of deliverance still going to be true? Has he still delivered us from sin to salvation? So it's not something we're going to abandon as we go to the New Testament, but we will expand it to bring Jesus into it as well. But before we do that, as we're kind of in the middle right now between the Old and the New Testament, let's just talk about some real life aspects of being of deliverance as well. You know, it's interesting when we put lessons together, and I put this one together a few weeks ago, probably 2 months ago or so, is why when I initially put this together. It's interesting, different things that we're doing at the time can impact things that we may say. When I say, I mean include in the lesson. It so happened as I was putting this together, I had read an article not long before that, and it just kind of, to me, it coincided with what I'm talking about here. I'm going to share with you, I'm going to share with you a couple of pages to start with, and then there's about half a page to mention as well. But this article that I'm going to share with you talks about a study that's recently been done by the Harvard Graduate School of Education. So let me just mention a couple of things. The title of it is Mental Health Challenges of Young Adults Illuminated in New Report. Now, in a minute, as we go into this, I want to keep a couple of things in mind. This article is going to detail some of the challenges that young people feel in their life. And what I want you to think about as we read through this is remember that phrase we had seen in John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come that they may have what? Life and more abundantly. There's a lot of people today that don't feel very good about life. Maybe you don't feel very good about it at times. And so as we read this, think about Christ and a more abundant life and how that can impact here and about the idea of being delivered as well. So here we go. Mental health challenges of young adults illuminated in new report. Young adults in the U.S. report twice the rate of anxiety and depression as teens, according to a new report from Making Caring Common, a project of the Harvard Graduate School of Education. So we've got this report. They're putting it together. They're calling it Making Caring Common. This report identifies several drivers of young adults' emotional challenges, including a lack of meaning and purpose. This report, which the report itself is entitled On Edge, Understanding and Preventing Young Adults' Mental Health Challenges, is based on a nationally representative survey of young adults ages 18 to 25, teens, and parents, and it was conducted in December of 2022. 36% of young adults who responded to the survey reported anxiety, compared to 18% of teens, and 29% of young adults reported depression, compared to 15% of teens. So let's just pause for a second and digest those two stats. Some people really like stats. I'm a math guy, so I kind of like stats. Some people can get kind of lost in stats fairly quickly. But here's what I'm taking from it so far. Of the 18 to 25 year olds that were surveyed, 36% responded that they had anxiety, or at least had felt it in the last month. And 29% reported depression. That sounds like a pretty high number, doesn't it? This is a real challenge, it seems like, among young people today, and it may very well be across the board as well. Continuing on, young adulthood can be a time of great growth and possibility, said Richard Weisbord, lead author of the report, faculty director of Making Caring Common, and senior lecturer at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. But far too many young adults told us that they feel on edge, lonely, directionless, and that they worry about financial security. Many are achieving to achieve and finding little meaning in either school or work. This report identifies a variety of stressors that may be driving young adults' high rate of anxiety and depression. The top driver of young adults' mental health challenges include. So here are five bullet points about the challenges that bring mental health difficulties. Here's the first one. A lack of meaning or purpose and direction. Nearly 3 in 5 young adults, and specifically 58%, reported that they lacked meaning or purpose in their lives in the previous month. Half of young adults reported that their mental health was negatively influenced by not knowing what to do with my life. Here's the second bullet. Financial worries and achievement pressure. More than half of young adults reported that financial worries, that's 56%, and achievement pressure, that's 51%, were negatively impacting their mental health. So financial worries, achievement pressure, these were causing challenge. Third point, a perception that the world is unraveling. 45% of young adults reported a general sense that things are falling apart. You ever feel that way? As adults, can we see society in some way falling apart? I think for those of us who have some age, it may not impact us quite in the same way, but if you can imagine growing up and being on the verge of adulthood and seeing things falling apart, so a perception that the world is unraveling. 45% of young adults reported a general sense of things are falling apart, and that was impairing their mental health. Bullet point 4, relationship deficits. 44% of young adults reported a sense of not mattering to others, and 34% reported loneliness. And here's the last one, social and political issues. 42% reported the negative influence on their mental health of gun violence in schools, 34% cited climate change, and 30% cited worries that our political leaders are incompetent or corrupt. Now, here's one more paragraph that I'll briefly read, bringing some of this back together. Young adults' mental health hasn't been on our public radar in the same way that teens' mental health has been since the pandemic, said Melina Baranova, MCC's Director of Research and Evaluation, and a co-author of the report. But really high percentages of young adult respondents to our survey said they felt anxious, depressed, or both. Now, why did I include this in this sermon, in this lesson? Well, I've tried to remind us along the way, what did Jesus come? I have come that they may have life and more abundantly. Now, if we just look around us, can our world be challenging at times? Are the things that are mentioned, is there a validity there? Again, this is apparently 18 to 25 year olds. The teens also had certainly suffered from some of these. But there is something to be said here. But of course, what is a key? A key is a spiritual component. If you have a spiritual aspect of your life, if we look to be delivered from things that are here, how can we be delivered? We are delivered by our Redeemer. And in a minute, I will get to the New Testament aspect from it. But I think we can all see that there is something that we need to be delivered from. Most of us here are a little older. In some congregations, you've got lots of young people there, and the younger people of the congregation may be feeling that. There's some younger people here today. But whether it's younger people or across the board, there is this sense at times. You know, I'm going to give one more sense before we move into the New Testament. It's kind of a unique sense. This morning I got to Raytown about 8:30. I went to the parking lot here at Hy-Vee and kind of went through my lesson, was sitting there. I was looking across the street. You know, for me, I live out in Jeff City, so as I come here and I come to Raytown, in a sense, I'm to the center of Kansas City. Admittedly, the center isn't exactly in Raytown. But is today kind of a special day in Kansas City? It's the Lord's Day, and that's a special day, you're right. There's a lot of people that may not think of it as special because it's the Lord's Day, but why do some people think it's a special day? Super Bowl. If there's one event in America that all America at least has some sense of, is it the Super Bowl? Now, some people are going to not worry a whole lot about the Super Bowl, but especially in Kansas City, is the Super Bowl a big deal? And I probably wouldn't even think of this if it wasn't Super Bowl Sunday and if I wasn't kind of in the middle of Kansas City. But I'm going to give you another brief example. There's lots of, and this isn't an appropriate example. I think it's appropriate for life overall. It's not an appropriate in spiritual other than making a connection. For some people, Jesus Christ as the Redeemer is not especially valuable to them. But some people really appreciate being delivered from losing to winning. I'm not going to name names, but are there people, as the Kansas City Chiefs have been in the Super Bowl four out of the last five years, are there people on the Chiefs that have helped to deliver them from a losing situation to a winning situation? Are there some that almost view, and most of you know who the blanks could be filled in by, are there some who almost review them as they deliver from losing to winning as a redeemer? I mean, and is there an accurate sense in terms of being delivered, now that they are not a redeemer? I mean, I've been a Chiefs fan since 1977. I've been a Royals fan since 77. Earlier this week, the Royals signed a young person of their, going into their third year, signed him to a long-term contract. Are they hoping to, that person can help to deliver them from losing to winning? Again, I probably wouldn't even think of including it except kind of this particular day. And I guess the point I'm making is, in life, some people really struggle. But at the same time, in this case, are people at their highest? If we win the Super Bowl, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, are there going to be people that are just ecstatic about that? And is that a good thing? Is it good in life to have highlights of life as well? Sure, we live in this world, we live as humans. I think the Lord expects and appreciates that there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. But you know, one of the things that we also recognize in life is that even at the highest of highs, when we look back on it, is there an emptiness to it as well? Or can there be an emptiness? Yes, it's nice. People go to the Super Bowl. Today, there's hundreds of thousands that have, there's probably over 100,000 that have gathered to Las Vegas itself to be a part of the environment, to be a part of the situation. And people are going to go away from that, and they're going to have some kind of level of high. But there's also a point that they're going to kind of come down. And there's even those who achieve at great levels, do they often feel an emptiness as well? And so we can recognize that in this world, whether it's the highest of highs or just an average situation, Jesus has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Winning is nice, and winning may feel more abundant, but winning is not salvation. And so we've talked about the Old Testament peace. We've kind of talked in the middle here about some real life situations, whether it be mental health challenges, whether it be trying to get out of the lows of life, whether we're on the highs. Of course, if they don't win the Super Bowl today, is Kansas City going to be in despair tomorrow? Or at least some people going to think how terrible things are. But the point is, there's something that's more valuable as well. So let's move to the New Testament piece and perceive Jesus as the Redeemer. Let's put a couple of things here. When we talk about redeem in this sense, we are thinking about buying. We're thinking about purchase. Another word that's often associated with this is the idea of a ransom. Christ gave his life as a ransom. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. We will look at verses 13 and 14. Appreciate, if you will, with me as we read this through together. Colossians 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so in verse 13, we have this idea still present, still the idea of deliverance, still the idea of delivering from one thing to another. We see that again in verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. That would include sin. He has delivered us from the power of sin. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And it is in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have been bought with a price. We have been purchased. And we're going to look at a couple of verses in a minute that go into that as well. But I might go next to Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. That gets into the idea of a ransom. And I will turn there. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man, well, actually, let's come back just a little bit for this. Because I want to get the idea of who is great. Take, for instance, in verse 26. This is Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ was in heaven with God. Jesus Christ was great. And I say great because in verse 26 it spoke about anyone who desires, whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. Jesus was great prior to coming to the earth. As he came to the earth, did he remain great? On one level, the answer very much is yes. But in his greatness, he also became a what? A servant, we see from verse 26. And then going on back down to verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, ransom is kind of an interesting thing. We think of ransom in terms of someone being kidnapped and the kidnapper demanding a ransom. As Jesus is referred to as a ransom, it's not as if Satan had kidnapped someone. It's not as if Satan necessarily had a power, or it's not as if Satan in any way, shape, or form had power over the Lord. So this is not a ransom that was demanded by Satan, but it is a ransom, if you will, that was part of God's plan, that Christ would come to give his life, and in this sense, as a ransom for many. Now, there's one other passage that relates that. I'm not going to turn there, but I'll just remind you of it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Turn with me, if you will, to one more passage that we will use, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So far, we haven't necessarily made it personal. So far, we've talked about Jesus being a ransom. We've talked about Jesus being a deliverer, if you will. He's conveyed us, and it talked about we have redemption through his blood. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, make it personal. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are bought at a price. You were bought. You were purchased. The Lord purchased you with His blood. The Lord delivered you then from sin into forgiveness as a ransom. So what we see is that our spiritual redemption, in this, Christ gave His life. Now, is this redemption for this life only, or is this redemption for eternal life? There is an aspect that we are delivered in this life. There is an aspect that we are redeemed while living here, but even more for eternal life. Is this abundant life? If we go back to the idea that I came to give life and life more abundantly, is this abundant life for this life? Yes, in a spiritual sense. Is it for this life only? Or is this abundant life one that also is for eternity? And then, just to make a final point with it, our ultimate redemption is in the resurrection. Just as we read earlier about being delivered from the power of the grave or from the power of death, ultimately we are delivered from death. Ultimately we are delivered from the earth to heaven. We are delivered from a life that can be very good here. It's going to have its ups and downs, but we're also delivered unto salvation. Hopefully we can appreciate that as we sit here this morning. We can appreciate it in some degree and in some way as we continue to live in this earth. But also we can set our mind on things above. We can appreciate the things of the earth. We can appreciate that today is, quote, Super Bowl Sunday. We'll go home and some of us will be big fans and appreciate what's going on. Most of us will appreciate it at least on some level. But our Redeemer is not a player for the Chiefs or for the Royals. Our Redeemer is not being delivered from losing to winning. Our Deliverer, though, delivers us from sin to salvation. May this be something that gives us encouragement and gives us an inspiration to continue to live so we too can enjoy a fully abundant life in heaven with our Redeemer. This morning we draw this lesson to a close. If you've not yet been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we invite you to come this morning. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who was sent by Him so your sins can be forgiven, you could be redeemed from your sin to deliver you from sin to salvation. If you believe He is the Son of God and are ready to confess Christ as a Son, to be washed in the waters of baptism, and to rise and walk a life for Him, we invite you to come this morning, or if you have any other needs to bring before us, please come as we stand and sing.